It's good to worship the Lord, isn't it? Once again, I'd like to thank everybody, Mary, for your faithfulness and just asking people to get us started into each service. And Judy, thank you for getting us started. Appreciate your thoughts. And for our tech guys, I asked Justin to do some things again this week, and I appreciate his faithfulness in that. Thank you. And for Merlin this morning, and Daniel, and Brandon back there helping us out. Appreciate it. And Scott, just for being faithful for the times the praise team doesn't lead us. He's faithful in filling in the gaps. So good to have Maddie with us this morning. You too, Will and Emily, but the Lord is so faithful, isn't he? Luann and I were talking last night about the whole process of birth and what an amazing miracle that is. I mean, to be in that fluid one moment, breathing in and out fluid, and the next moment to be breathing air. I mean, how does that work? I mean, it's amazing. How can you not believe there's a God when you look at such a beautiful little being like Maddie? So, praise the Lord. So, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us, for your love, for just who you are. Thank you that we are your children, and you want us to call you Father. Thank you for the blood of Christ that covers us and cleanses us. Thank you for each person here this morning, and for those who are away on vacation and traveling and doing various other things. We just pray your blessings upon them as well. This morning, Holy Spirit, I confess, without you, I can do nothing. I've prepared some things to share, but without your anointing, it's nothing. So I thank you that we are not without you, and I'm not without you this morning. And so we invite you to move among us. Teach us. Glorify Jesus this morning. Do a work in each of our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the midst of this series of summer messages on Jesus is blank. You fill in the blank. We've already heard messages on Jesus the same today, yesterday, and forever. We've heard a message on Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the light. So I thought I'd ask you this morning, what things come to your mind when I say Jesus is, just shoot out a word or two or whatever comes to mind. Faithful. Yes, he is. Faithful. Gracious. Lord. Truth. The good shepherd. He's God. Powerful. Yes. Love. Light. That's where we're going this morning, what Bobby said. Love. How can you talk about Jesus is and not hit love? It's pretty basic, isn't it? But we need to hear this again. We need reminders. Yeah, Jesus is love. Love, we hear the word love all the time. I just love that. But there's a lot of wrong or false ideas about what true love really is today. Perhaps of all the words in the English language, love is probably the one word that's been twisted, contorted, distorted, misunderstood. We see this modeled all the time on TV or in the movies. A lot of misrepresentation of what true love really is. Besides all the movies and TV shows that are depicting love, there's all these thousands of love songs on the radio. From the Beatles' All We Need Is Love, to Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis, or What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner. That's a bad one. Or Love Hurts by Nazareth. That's one of Chuck's favorites. I'm kidding. And, you know, we're naive if we think that this barrage of songs and movies and stuff doesn't affect how we think about love and how we view love. And it comes out in how we talk. I mean, we say we love coffee. We love vacations. We love our cell phones. I just got a new cell phone. I am now have an iPhone. I used to have a slider. Now I have an iPhone. It's like, okay, I don't love my cell phone, but yeah. We love new clothes. This is a new shirt. And at my house, we love Ben & Jerry's ice cream. But in the same breath, then we say we love our wives, we love our husbands, we love our children, our parents. We love babies. Absolutely, we love babies. So this word love really gets used hard and for many things. I know one Christmas, Luann wanted a special kind of perfume. It was called True Love, was the name of the perfume. So I go to Boscosa Park City, and there's this big African-American woman behind the perfume counter, and I go up to her, and I say, I'm looking for true love. She says, I said, the perfume. She says, walk this way. She was great. And I bought true love for my wife. Can you picture me with this African-American big lady? Oh, goodness, the Lord has a sense of humor. She enjoyed that too, I think. Then we go to church and we hear Mark 12, 30 to 31, which says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment than these. Those are Jesus' words. So we need reminders of what real love, what true love really is. The Jesus kind of love according to the Bible. I know you all know this, and we've heard it before, but I thought it's worth repeating. There are three kinds of love, all using the same word love. But in the Greek, there are three different words for it. Agape love, which is God's love. It's an unconditional love. I'd like to say we have that kind of love, but that kind of love is rare among people. But that's what he wants, agape love, unconditional. Then there's phileo love. This is Greek words, meaning brotherly love. And lastly, there's eros love, which is a passionate or romantic love. It's helpful to know these three different kinds of love. They're all the same word in English, but it's so hard for us to distinguish many times the difference between the different kinds of love, worldly love and Jesus' love. And then to top it off, we're all in our busy, hectic worlds, and the enemy comes in so subtly and plants doubts and wrong ideas about love into our minds. And we wonder if Jesus and God really does love us. And so it's good to have times like this to get into the Word, to remind us of what is really going on. First of all, the world's view of love is a self-centered love. It tells us that if we find somebody that makes us feel special, makes our days brighter and meets our needs and realizes how special we are, that our life can be more rich and full, and that hole in ourselves that we have is going to be filled by this special person loving us, this human being. Really, it's a counterfeit love because it puts pressure on another person to meet our needs. And when they fail us and we experience pain, we say that there was a miscommunication going on or differing agendas or conflicting goals, and they don't love us anymore. Really, it's just a symptom of greater issues, basically self-centered love that we were wanting and thought we needed. And it really does hinder us sometimes from receiving true love that comes from God. Now, Jesus' kind of love, the agape love, God's love, once it's received from him, is truly genuine, and it is a selfless kind of a love. And that's the kind of love he wants us to receive and he wants us to give. Selfless, not self-centered, but selfless. It was revealed in Jesus Christ. And it was expressed by God the Father sending him. And it's expressed in our care for others, in our relationships here within New Beginnings and with other Christians. It's expressed in our families, and of course it's expressed in our marriages with our spouses. I found this quote and I thought it was good, so I'm just going to read it. The Bible defines Jesus in a simple and succinct yet powerful and profound way. Jesus could have given himself any definition he wanted, but in the Bible's breathtaking brilliance, it defines Jesus in a single word, love. God is love. Now, I know you've heard this too. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians is the love chapter, but I think it's helpful if you take out the word love and insert Jesus. You've probably heard this before, but it's worth hearing again. So we're going to take out the word love and put in Jesus because God is love. So, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy and does not boast. Jesus is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. That's good, isn't it? I know you heard that before, but we need to hear it again. So often it's difficult for us to really know and understand the love that he has for us. Sometimes we get intellectual and we get theological in describing a Jesus. But we need to be reminded that we are his children, and children understand Jesus' love. In a simple song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We make it so hard sometimes when it's really so simple. Now, there's a bunch of scriptures that I put out on tables. Hopefully you have them, and we're going to be reading them. Now, there's a lot of them. I think there's 16 of these. If when you read your scripture, if you have a thought or a comment about it, I welcome you to share that with everyone. And I think there's some microphones around too. This sheet says the order that we're going to read them in. So you can get those out too so you have a general idea where we're going with this. Now, don't get so caught up in thinking, oh, I have to read this scripture and it's got to be perfect. Don't worry about reading it perfect. But listen to all these scriptures. Let them sink into you. I mean, this is God's word. It's his love story to us. It's his love letter to us. The Bible's a love letter to us. And so I'm going to start it off by reading Romans 5, 8. So I need everybody to kind of focus now. Don't worry about your scripture. We'll get there. Listen to Romans 5, 8. But God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that now. He loved us so much while we were yet sinners, while we didn't love him. We're doing all these things that are not good, that go against what he says to do. While we were still like that, he loved us and died for us. That's how much he loves us. So let's go to Ephesians 2 and then John 3:16. We'll just go through these verses and listen. Listen to this, what the Lord is saying to us this morning. So Ephesians 2, 4 and 5.
Ephesians 2, 4 to 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and our trespasses made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
We'll just go right to the next verse there.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
First John 4:16, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And then John 15:9-17, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends.
John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. 1 John 4:19, we love because he loved us first. We love because he first loved us.
John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
John 14:23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins.
Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Ephesians 5:1-2, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
I missed on the one list, Colossians 3:14. If you have that, you can read that.
And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Now 1 John 4.
1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?
1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart.
Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor.
This is just a short snippet of verses on love. I mean, there's a lot more. So how's your loving? I think before we can love, we have to receive his love. Once we understand his love for us, it's much easier to love others. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easier, though, once we understand his love. Everything Jesus did and does is motivated by love. Think about Jesus' life on this earth when he walked this earth. Everything he said, everything he did was motivated by love. turning over the tables in the temple. Making a whip and driving out the animals. Wow. He did that because he loved them. Waiting 4 days before he went to Mary and Martha to raise Lazarus. He knew they didn't understand. He knows sometimes we don't get it either. But everything he does, and not everything that happens in our life, he does. I'm not saying that to you. I'm not saying every bad thing is he's doing. I don't believe that. But everything he does, everything about Jesus, is motivated by love. And he wants us to be like him. Whew. Talk about tall tasks, right? There's five basic ways that human beings give and receive love. You might have heard this. They're called love languages. There's five of them. Acts of service, words of affirmation, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And most people prefer one or two of these over the others. It's a way that they receive love. Do you know what your love language is? For me, it's words of affirmation. How about your children? Do you know what your children's love languages are, or your spouse's love language? It's helpful to know. My question this morning now we're going to look at next is Jesus' love language. Do you know Jesus' love language? I didn't get this anywhere. I just kind of came upon it. So I thought, okay. These are Mike's ideas. I think guided by the Holy Spirit. I hope so. I think Jesus' first love language would be quality time, fellowship, intimacy. More so than our service. Think about Martha and Mary. Jesus said to Martha, "You're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part." What was Mary doing? Just sitting at his feet, listening. Just being with him. Wasn't doing anything for him. Not that she didn't do things for him. Not that we're not supposed to do things, but more than anything, she just wanted to be with him. Just listen to him. And she chose the good part. My question is, for yourself and for myself, this is not just for you, do you take time to just sit and be still and love on Jesus? Back in the 1980s, there was a book out called Won't You Tarry 1 Hour by Larry Lee. And I read this book and went through the workbook and I thought, I felt convicted. I'm supposed to pray for an hour every day. But what I did is I had a list and I actually prayed a list of prayer concerns for an hour. Can you imagine? Then I thought I was doing good things. You know, he wants us to bring our requests to him. He does. If it's on your heart and it's important to you to bring it to him, if there's needs that need to be met, things, requests, certainly he wants to hear that. But he doesn't want us to just read off a list and say, okay, I'm good. And that's what I was doing. And I never gave him any time to talk to me. I never listened to him. So I had to learn to put away the list and just be still and know that he is God. But quality time, words of affirmation, I think he wants. He wants us to thank him, to praise him for his goodness, his kindness, his grace, and his love that he pours out on us. So I would think, for myself, this is something I constantly need to work at. It's just a personal thing. I We all get busy. We all have our requests, but it's something I just need to work at, just being with him. Next, his second love language, and I believe a close second, is obedience, acts of service, as he directs us through the Holy Spirit. And there's no getting around this, because Jesus says it straight up when he says, if you love me, obey my commands. And to test the authenticity of Peter's love after his denial of Jesus, Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, meaning take care of my people. You want to show me love? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Be obedient to what I'm asking you to do. To God, obedience is a big deal, because we demonstrate our trust for him when we are obedient. We can say we trust God all we want, but until we do what he says to do, we're not really trusting him. So to love Jesus is to obey him. Now, one of the love languages is physical touch. You may think, well, that one's out, because we can't physically touch Jesus. I mean, anybody ever physically touch Jesus? So that one's off the list. Wrong. Because Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So when we give someone a kiss on the cheek, or a hug, or a hearty handshake, or a pat on the back, or a touch on the shoulder, as the Holy Spirit directs us to do that, it can really minister to people. Sometimes it's the best way to show love to people. I mean, when a loved one passes away, what do you say? What words can you do? The best thing is to be with them and give them a hug. And it speaks more than anything you could ever say. It never talks about Jesus hugging people, but I can't imagine he didn't. We know he touched people in various ways, but so yeah, I think we can actually show love to Jesus in a physical way. How about words of affirmation? That's my major love language. So do you do that with the Lord? Do you tell the Lord how awesome he is? Do you thank him? I mean, I oftentimes, when I'm in my truck, have WJTL on. That's the only station I ever play. And I'm always singing to the Lord, driving down the road, just loving on him with songs. There's some really good songs out there, too. But he appreciates it. He loves it when we tell him so. 1 Chronicles 16:6-8-11. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Where Psalms 9:1-2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing to your praise to your name, O Most High. Or Psalms 105:1. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds, especially him. You're awesome, Lord. I mean, I can hardly go on a bike ride, and I ride every day, without praising the Lord and thanking the Lord and just thinking about how good he is and how faithful he is. Yes, there's prayer requests I have that have not been answered yet, things that I've lifted to the Lord, my own family and for people I love that I know things are not good. But I say, Lord, you're faithful. You're faithful. I know you hear these prayers. I know you're moving in ways that I don't see and understand, but you are faithful. And I'll just tell him so because he deserves it. So I want you to take a moment now and think about Jesus, the lover of our soul. Do you desire him? Do you desire to love on him and to know him more intimately? I wonder what he's desiring to tell you or me. I wonder if he wishes we'd be still long enough to hear his words. I wonder if we draw near to him and just give him a chance to share some things that are on his chest about us. He would say, "Em, you're a great mom, great wife. I love you, girl. You're my girl." Just, it's hard when you have two little kids and recovering from C-section and a baby and a husband to just be still, isn't it? He understands. He understands how much time you have, and he's not requiring things about us that we can't give. Just take those moments here and there to receive his love. He's waiting. He wants to hear from you. That's the thing about love. It desires to be with someone. When I first was with Luann and I fell in love, man, I couldn't get enough of her. I couldn't spend enough time with her. I want to talk to her all the time. That's how he is with you. He says, "Mary, you're my girl." He loves us so much. We can't understand how much he thinks about us. It says in the Bible, and the Bible does not exaggerate. He says, if you count the number of times he thinks about us, it'd be more than numbers of the sand, grains of sand. He never stops thinking about you. Yancey, you're always on his mind. He loves you that much. He knows everything about you and me and still loves me. Can you imagine that? I'm not the easiest person to love. I just talk to Luann sometime. Oh, he wants to love us. And this is what he says. Listen to these. Take these personally to yourself. Take these scriptures. These are all scriptures. I'm not going to read the reference. I'm just going to say them. And let it sink in. Feel, sense his love for you personally this morning. Block out everybody else. It's just for you. For you, Matt Strasbaugh. For you, Daniel. Precious one, you might not know me, but I know you like none other. I am your most beloved companion. It is my desire to overwhelm you in my love. I chose you when I planned creation. Nothing you have ever done can separate you from my love. You are not a mistake. I am healing all wounds and brokenness of your heart. I will never stop doing good for you. I will never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. You are my treasured possession. No one loves you like me. Can you feel his love? Can you sense his love for you? And it's unchanging. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, can ever change it. Wow. That's the kind of God I want to serve. That's the kind of God we do serve. He loves you whether you feel it or not. And his love has been poured out in our hearts, in our spirits. His love isn't conditional upon good actions or holiness. If you don't feel his love, it's not that God didn't give it, because he just continues to pour it out. The beautiful thing about this is it takes all the legalism out of it, doesn't it? There's no amount of good we can do to deserve it or earn it. It's just ours because he is and he gives it. We're going to close with a song that's really ministered to my heart over the last weeks. And I sense that we were supposed to listen to it together. You can sing along with it or just simply listen and enjoy it as we, it's called The Reckless Love of God by Corey Asbury. The only thing about the song is the word reckless. And I believe, I don't mind the word reckless per se. I believe the reason he used the word reckless is because to us in our humanness, it seems like reckless love. Why would he pour out love on these unloving people? That seems reckless. It seems reckless, but it's not. It's just simply unconditional. It's who he is. So listen to this song and allow the Lord to just bless your heart this morning.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
So much for your love. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. It seems reckless, but it's not. Thank you that you love us at our worst and our best, and nothing will ever change it. Thank you, that's who we worship. Thank you, Jesus, you made it possible because of the shedding of your blood. We can't understand this kind of love, but we thank you for it. Now, Lord, as we go out this week, help us to understand and receive your love, to offer our love back to you as imperfect as it is, and then to share your love wherever we go with others around us. You tell us to and want us to share your love with everyone, especially on those that are unlovely, because they need it the most. So go with us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.